Okay, let's start with Parsha as we always do on Thursday. Because I don't have drushas from last year at this point, the shuls were still shut down. So I was looking around in this beautiful new sefer that my chavrusa sent me, Sholem Rav, my chavrusa Rabbi Rosner Shlita, and he has a very nice collection of answers to the famous kasha about Nadav and Avihu. Not really a kasha, just like what's going on over here? You know, on the story of Nadav and Avihu, that what happens? Vayakrivu lefnei Hashem. One thing that everybody seems to agree about is that the Averu was more than just bringing an Eish Zara Asher Lo Tziva Osam, that there was something here, there's some lesson to be learned, there was some major transgression that was violated that is not explicitly stated in the Pesukim. There are few things in Torah that have more opinions in Midrashim and Ma'amari Chazal and Gemaras about what exactly happened. You have Meimariva is a good one, and you have this. I mean, there are very few things that have so many opinions in Chazal and in Rishonim about what exactly the Avera was. So each of the Eli Ve'el Divrei Elokim Chayim and each of the approaches requires a little bit of analysis and trying to understand what it might mean for us. So I want to share with you the three that Rabbi Rosner shares in his beautiful Sefer. First, that of Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer. What is this Eish Zara? Says Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, who of course, I think we've mentioned him before, Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer was a great-grandson of the Chasam Sofer on both his father's side and his mother's side. That's what happens when first cousins marry each other. You get double Yichus, so he was the or half yichus, whatever you call it, but he was a more condensed yichus, let's say it that way. He was a great grandson of the Chasam Sofer on both his mother's and his father's side. He was the chief rabbi of the city of Krakow. I was once Zoche to see the Ksav Rabbanus that they sent to Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer when they invited him to be the chief rabbi of Krakow, because he has grandchildren that live in Lawrence and great-grandchildren that live in Lawrence and a great-great-grandson that lives in North Woodmere, Rabbi Nathan Farber, who many of you may know, and Rabbi Farber's uncle showed me the Ksav Rabbanus that they sent. It wasn't like, you know, they did some probas and then put out an email to the shul where proud to announce that we've hired so-and-so. No, they sent like this whole thing with designs around it, and it was like written on cloth, and it was a beautiful nusach that they made for him. So anyway, maybe we should go back to that. It's a nice thing. So Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer suggests the following. He says, if you look in the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, the Medrash suggests a whole bunch of different averos that they may have done, such as that they never got married, or that maybe they got married but they never had children, or that they were too eager to take over the leadership from Moshe and Aaron. Yamusu Shnei Zekenim Elu. When are these Zekenim going to die so that it will be our turn already? And Rav Yosef Nechemya says in his drashas, he says, what's the connection? Is there a connection between these various averos that are identified? So Rav Yosef Nechemya suggests that perhaps Nadav and Avihu, of course, were tzaddikim. They were greater than Moshe and Aaron. They were sons of Aaron HaKohen. So what does it mean? They decided not to get married? They decided not to have children? You're allowed to decide not to do mitzvos? How could it be that people on that madrega could decide to abandon not just a mitzvah in the Torah, the first mitzvah in the Torah? How is that possible that they made such a decision? So Rav Yosef Nechemya suggests that it must be that they viewed themselves as being on the level of Ben Azai, of someone who is nafshi chashka b'Torah, who's completely connected to the Torah, and is therefore unable to get married, with such a level that he can't, that he never even is distracted from this Torah for a second, and his whole essence is made up of Torah, and therefore could not live a normal life. And we have a similar thing with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rav Lazar. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel, right? That's often known as the Lag BaOmer Gemara, because there is no Gemara about Lag BaOmer, but the Gemara about the story that people like to tell on Lag BaOmer is the story in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel, so it's an easy way to remember the Daf, Shabbos Daf Lag. It's like Zichru before Zichru, you know, that everyone was using that mnemonic even before Zichru came along. So in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel, you have a similar such story. The Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, so many years hiding in a cave, away from everybody else, completely engrossed in Torah, and everything they saw was automatically consumed by fire. There was no way to translate that into the real world. The problem is that that's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from the vast majority of us, and it's certainly not what he wants from our leadership. Our leadership is expected to be people who are Mu'uravim Abrios, who connect to other people, who understand other people, who understand what it means for people to have the pressures that they have, and doesn't view everything as just meaningless, because if it's not Torah, then it's meaningless. If a person feels a certain sense of sadness over something that is not Torah, or a person feels a certain sense of excitement over something that's not Torah, the leaders have to be able to at least understand where they're coming from. Even if you can't, if you don't feel that same excitement, you don't share those same interests. To Nadav and Avihu, everything outside of Torah was foreign. It was strange. It was something that was completely unrelatable. And with their desire to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam and to take over for Aaron and Moshe, they thought that the greatest leaders would be those who are most closely connected to Torah, who are entirely connected to Torah. So after the Egel Azav, Moshe and Aaron begged for forgiveness for the people. Would Nadav and Avihu done that? Probably not. They probably would have burnt them with their eyes, says Rav Yosef Nechemiah. So that's what caused them to remain unmarried. That's what caused them to look at the leadership of Moshe and Aaron as something whose time had come, because they thought it was beneath leaders of society, of Klal Yisrael, to be involved in such things. And I think this is like such an important idea. You have to be careful how you say it and how you apply it. Meaning, this does not mean that a leader of the Jewish people needs to watch football games, because you have to be able to relate to what people are thinking. And this is not at all what it means. And sometimes you hear people saying it over, and it sounds like that's what they think it means. But that's not. I don't think that's at all what it means. It means that a leader of the Jewish people has to be able to look at people and value them. Has to be able to look at people's fears, anxieties, joys, celebrations, and appreciate them. Appreciate that there's something there. Respect them. Validate people's feelings, because they're coming from a different place. I just had a meeting yesterday with somebody who's not from our yeshiva, but who's looking to go into Rabbanus, and he wanted to talk about possible ideas and what sort of midos he needs to work on. A very interesting fellow and a very interesting conversation. And one of the things that I said is, like, sometimes from a Ben Yeshiva perspective, the whole world is like, the world in which we grew up, and our parents and their friends and they all seem to fall short of the ideal that we make in our heads of the way a Jew is supposed to be. And one should not fall into that trap. A person should realize that there are a lot of pressures in life, and there are a lot of things that are going on, and there are a lot of and there's a lot of really great things that people are doing, and very often, even those people that you see, when God willing, many of you go into Rabbanus or go into Chinuch, the kid that you see that looks like the roughest on the outside, or looks like he's just not a nice kid, or he's angry, or he's this, or he's that, you'll realize, just go a little bit deeper, dig a little bit deeper, and you'll see where it's coming from, what kind of experiences he's had in life, how there's an inherent goodness under there, and that's part of the avoda, to be able to connect to people not only from our ivory towers of being able to say, well, I've been learning for 14 hours a day for the last 7 years of my life, why can't everybody do that? And if you're a balabas and you're not immediately running to the Beis Medrash and waking up at 4 in the morning, because that's what I would imagine I would do when I'm in that situation, well, then you're a failure, you're someone who's fallen. That is not the way we ought to look at people, certainly not if we ever want to be able to help people come closer to Hashem and to have a positive impact on Klal Yisrael. Then a second Mahalich Rabbi Razner shares is the Mahalich of the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer asks, how could it be that not getting married and starting a family is called an Eish Zara? Meaning, it's true, Chazal do say this, that what they did was they didn't get married, they didn't start a family, but that's not what the Torah says. Torah says Eish Zara. How is that in any way an Eish Zara? And he points to Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Tesa Amud Aleph, that Moshe Rabbeinu's children did not necessarily follow exactly quite in the path of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were not the greatest tzaddikim. And the Navi tells us, Shmuel's children, we have a lot of times what early versions of what they call rabbi's son syndrome, where the rabbi is so busy with everybody else, and he's so busy with society that sometimes his own children fall by the wayside or feel neglected or feel ignored, and they don't always follow that path. And Nadav and Avihu saw Uncle Moshe, and they saw what happened to their first cousins, that they weren't quite on the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said it must be because Moshe Rabbeinu was too busy dealing with the nation, that one cannot be a great leader and also a great father. And if they were going to be the next leaders, they were going to do better. They were going to make sure that they are leaders who are fully committed to being leaders. So they will not marry, they will not have children, they'll be able to put 24/7 into what their mission is. And that, says the Ksav Sofer, was a tragic mistake. That ultimately was their undoing. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest leader in the history of the Jewish people, and for all we know, he was the greatest father in the history of the Jewish people. One cannot judge how skillful a parent is based on how his children turn out, because there are two components into, if not more, but two basic components into a parent's job into producing or raising a child properly. First is to do all the things right, to set the right example, to know when to show anger and when to show joy and when to be soft and when to be firm and when to know all of those things and to have that sensitivity to know what each child needs and how each child needs to be spoken to, and read all the latest parenting books or whatever. Whatever the skills are to be able to do that is one part. But as the Gemara Maseches Nida says, ha biloha lo sagya. If you do that without tefillah, you haven't done your job entirely. The other half is to daven, to really, really daven, because you understand ultimately that it's not up to you, that how the child turns out is completely in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam and that child. You just try to set him up for the greatest possibility of success, but that's all you're doing, is you're giving a chance at success. But the ultimate success is going to be, he's a Baal Bechira, that child, the ultimate success is going to be through what he makes of himself and how much Siyata D'Shemaya the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a person in raising children. We do not have the ability to mold children exactly the way we want to. Now, this, you have a similar idea with Chizkiyahu Melech. He realized that his children would not be tzaddikim, to put it mildly, and therefore he decided not to get married. And that's why Yeshayahu had to come and give it to him over the head. That's not your decision to make. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tends his vineyard. You can't come in and make a decision that you're not going to get married. And that is the Eish Zara. The idea that you could take matters into your own hands and decide not to do a mitzvah because of a judgment of how to raise a child. When it comes to raising children, we have to realize that it's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't know how many of you are podcast listeners, but even those who aren't probably did listen to the Rabbi Penner and his son Gedalia in the recent podcast that they did with Rabbi David Bashefkin. Rabbi Bashefkin has done a lot of different series, and there many of them are extremely valuable and very, very fascinating. None, I think, was more struck a chord with more people than this last series that he did with parents and children who didn't quite turn out the way their parents probably would have envisioned had you asked them, at the son's bris, what's in your mind when you think about what he's going to be in 25 years from now, right? The children probably do not fit exactly that picture. And it wasn't just Rabbi Penner and Gedalia. The other two that he interviewed were also fascinating and fantastic. And one of the things that you that you learn is that the measure of success of a parent is not, did the kid turn out exactly the way you would have liked or you would have predicted? That is not the measure of success. In fact, much of that is up to the Ribono Shel Olam, and frankly, much of that is up to the child. What the measure of success of a parent is, did you give the kid the best chance to have a successful and productive life of serving Hashem by laying that foundation of emotional stability, of a loving home, of a sense of wellness, a sense of a person being a normal, good person, and only on that foundation can you then start to build all of the good things that we aspire to. But that foundation, that's what the parents are there for. We don't make cheshbonos, we don't judge the success of a parent based on exactly how the child turns out, but the success of a parent is judged, I think, in all three cases, at least as much as you can get from a one-hour interview, the overwhelming sense, and that which resonated with people so much, was the overwhelming sense of love and really normalcy in abnormal situations. The sense of a parent-child relationship. Normally, I would be hesitant to speak about my boss and his son in a public setting, but he did it first, right? So and a lot more people listen to that than will listen to this. So I think that's a critical message of the Ksav Sofer. And then a final message, and that is that of the Netziv. The Netziv explains that the Eish Zara and the Avera of Nadav and Avihu was that a lot of times people have a tremendous yearning to come close to Hashem, a tremendous burning desire to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. And Nadav and Avihu were no different. But where they went wrong, says the Netziv, is that they invented a way to approach the Ribono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah, he gave us mitzvos. Those are not suggestions. That is a guidebook. That is the way that we can approach Hashem. An Eish Zara means exactly that. It's the most pashut pshat. Eish Zara means they brought something that was not part of the guidebook. You do not get to choose what counts as a mitzvah. The Torah that was brought by Nadav and Avihu was this expression of trying to do what feels right, what feels like it's Iskarvus Elukim, but isn't really. You know, the Baal HaTanya writes in Lukutei Amarim in Paragimel that naturally when a person has some exposure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the neshama, the nefesh elukis that a person has, it yearns for closeness. It jumps toward the Ribono Shel Olam. It has this chuka aza to come close to the Ribono Shel Olam. And then he writes in Perek Dalet, and how do you do that? And he writes in Perek Dalet that the way one does that is through Torah u'mitzvos, period, sof pasuk. He says that the Ribono Shel Olam has given us mitzvos as the only way to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. There is no other way to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. It is Torah and mitzvos, because he describes in detail how there are ramach evarim in a person, but there are ramach mitzvos asei, and there are not in a physical sense, but ramach evarim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, meaning that the ramach mitzvos asei each tap into some element of the borei olam that we can connect to that we otherwise would not be able to connect to. When we make up our own ways, we're not tapping into anything. We're tapping into ourselves. We're tapping into whatever makes us feel good. The mitzvos are the only way, says the Baal HaTanya, the only way that we can go and approach the Ribono Shel Olam. There's a lot of religious subjectivism out there that people feel that they get close to God by doing all sorts of interesting things. Ultimately, the way to get close to the Ribono Shel Olam, even when it doesn't feel that way, is by performing mitzvos. Of course, the goal is to make sure that our mitzvos do feel that way, that mitzvos haseh are an expression of avas Hashem, mitzvos los haseh are an expression of yiras Hashem, they're an outgrowth of both avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. The Tanya writes something really remarkable. He says, the mitzvos are the levush to the nefesh, to the nefesh, the nefesh ruach neshama, to the essence of the person, to the nefesh elukis. What is a levush? A levush is a garment, that which we put out to represent ourselves, but it's not who we are. And almost always in the physical world, the levush is tafel to the person, right? The person is the essence, and the levush is secondary. It's something else. Says the Baal HaTanya, in this one instance, the mitzvos are a levush to who we are, and the mitzvos are the ikr. The mitzvos are more powerful, are stronger than we are, because we are not Hashem. The mitzvos are as close to Hashem as a person can get. That's what a mitzvah is. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had over the past couple of days with people saying, you know, with the clock changing and with things getting late. You know, what's the big deal if we just do it? You know, my shul, we never did a tarti desasri mincha marv, you know, on Friday night or any other night. What's the big deal? Can't we just do it? It's so much more convenient. Can't we just do it? So, maybe this is not the best example because so many shuls do it, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on anybody. But when it comes to observing something like Zmanim, it seems so technical. It doesn't really seem to make a greater connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But, you know, like Rav Aaron Lichtenstein quoted Rav Huttner once, if a yeshiva bachur understood that missing Zman Kriya Shema is like taking a lulav on Chanukah, you know, why is it that I can't take a lulav tonight, let's say? I feel very connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to serve him with a lulav. Because that's not the mitzvah. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to connect him through the mitzvah satorah. And that's our job. So these three messages, I think, are absolutely critical messages. Rav Yosef Nechemiah Kornitzer and the Ksav Sofer and the Netziv, all stemming from this difficult to understand episode of Nadav and Avihu. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should always recognize what it means to be a true Jewish leader. That, as Rav Yosef Nechemiah says, to truly connect to people, to understand that to be a true Jewish leader starts with being a true Jewish leader in our own homes, as the Ksav Sofer says, to raise children who are healthy, who are happy, and to give them the best chance at the closest possible relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And as the Netziv says, to understand what a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam truly looks like, it's a relationship built on the foundation of Torah u'mitzvos.